The reading's taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to chapter 4, verse 1. I do not claim that I've already succeeded or I've already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won me to himself. Of course, my brothers and sisters, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and do my best to reach what is ahead. So I run straight towards the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. All of us who are spiritually mature should have the same attitude, but if some of you have a different attitude, God will make this clear to you. However that may be, let us go forward according to the same rules we have followed until now. Keep on imitating me, my brothers and sisters. Pay attention to those who have followed the right example that we have set for you. I have told you this many times before, and now I repeat it with tears. There are many who choose to make their lives enemy of Christ's death upon the cross. They are going to end up in hell because their God is their bodily desires. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of, and they think only of things that belong to this world. We, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly await our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. He will change our weak mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body, using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. So then, my brothers and sisters, how dear you are to me and how I miss you, how happy you make me and how proud I am of you. This then, dear brothers and sisters, is how you should stand firm in your life in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. So we're coming towards not quite the end of our visit to the book of Philippians, but a couple more messages to come. But I don't know about you, but I found it fascinating. I don't know if you've got any encouragement from it, but what an amazing little book this is. It takes 15 minutes to listen to it, and there's so much information and encouragement in there. It's a wonderful little book. I hope you've got something from the fact that we've started looking at it. So I'll just have a quick snapshot of what we've been looking at over the last few weeks as a refresher. We've thought about the importance of love abounding in the church more and more for it to grow. We heard the challenging poem that described Jesus's once humble nature as an example for us to live by. And then last week we heard this amazing story of the turning point in Paul's life in encountering, not actually the story itself, but what the impact that happened to Paul in encountering the risen Jesus on his way to Damascus and the profound impact it had on his life. And today's message is taken from Paul's statement from the letter, Our Citizenship in Heaven. So what does Paul mean by our citizenship in heaven? Before we started the series on Philippians, I looked at a book by Max Lucado, helpfully called, surprisingly, have a guess? Philippians. The book has a short introductory chapter on how to read the Bible. It's really well worth looking at. And the author asks a very simple question. What is the purpose of the Bible? He gave a one-word answer. Any ideas? The 9 o'clock didn't even come up with any ideas, so come on, 10:30, can we come up with any thoughts? A single word to summarise the Bible. Anybody at 9 o'clock, you're not allowed to answer. What was that, sorry? Truth. Truth is embodied in the Bible. Even more fundamental than that, what are we all hoping for? Hope, yeah, that's truth, hope. Salvation, who said that? Well done, Amanda, well done. Extra biscuit. The Bible is all about salvation. So I'll just let that sink in for a minute for you to think about that. God's purpose in communicating with us through his Bible is to bring us into a right relationship with him so that we can enjoy his presence forever through the life, the death, the resurrection, and the glorious ascension of Jesus, his son. If you think about it, this theme of salvation flows through the whole Bible, right from the start to the end. And Jesus is mentioned or referred to in every book, including the Old Testament. So we think about, look towards the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation 7:10, we're told a great multitude is standing before the throne in heaven, crying out in a loud voice. Is that word again? Salvation. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Is that good news? Is that good news? It's the most fantastic news we'll ever hear. Paul clearly grasped this message when he encountered the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, so much so that he completely abandoned his old way of life and became the key person in the whole of God's plan for redemption for mankind, other than Jesus, as we heard last week. People don't just suddenly change like that. There's something very special going on. You may recall last week that he completely renounced his old way of life as rubbish. Do you remember that image? By recognising that his lifestyle left him woefully short of God's favour when compared to knowing Christ. Trying to follow the law, if you remember, there was 7 or 8 reasons he gave why he thought he was doing well. But then he realised it meant nothing. What really meant something was meeting with Christ. So, moving on to today's passage, Paul then, having given all these reasons why Jesus was the right one, he then went on to say this: not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So, if Paul, well, we know a lot about Paul, don't we? He had these, how many missionary journeys was it? Three? Well, we think it was maybe 4 if we include his final journey, but Paul was living his life. He was on the extreme and he was doing everything he possibly could for the gospel. But he didn't consider that he was in a right enough relationship with Jesus or that he'd arrived at his goal. And if that's the case for Paul, where does that leave us? How is your relationship with Jesus? Is it everything you believe that Jesus would want it to be? Or do you think there might be just a teeny weeny little bit of room for improvement and growth in your walk with him? It certainly is the case for me. And if, like Paul, you believe there is room for more closeness, more fellowship, more day-by-day encounters with the risen Lord, then perhaps we need to understand what steps Paul considered he needed to take to grow in maturity. So what is Paul looking to take hold of, and what can we learn from him? There are at least 4 areas where Paul wanted to take his relationship with Jesus to another level. And if you've got your Bible there in front of you with chapter 3, we'll just step back and look at some of the verses we looked at last week to pick out some of the points that Paul was making. Verse 8, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Do we know Jesus? Do we know the risen, ascended Christ? Not just know about him, but do we have a close, personal knowledge of our risen Saviour? Verse 8, again, that I might gain Christ. Have you gained Christ? What does that mean? Is he a crucial, constant, reliable friend, a daily companion to you? Verse 9, be found in him. Are you found in Christ? I think it must have been Trevor that referred to this. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. And verse 10, I want to have the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. There may be suffering in following Jesus. Are you prepared for this? Understanding that whatever happens in our lives, it's under God's control. There will be no surprises for God. So if something that we think is not quite right at the moment, we really do need to trust God with it. And then Paul went on to say this: one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So does that sound as though Paul was taking it easy and thinking he'd got there? It doesn't, does it? He wasn't resting on his laurels. And there's another lesson for us here as followers of Christ. Christianity is a journey. It's a developing way of life. So Paul had thought about it and he developed a clear understanding of the steps he needed to take and was desperately keen to press on and progress. He wanted to press on to gain the prize for which God had called him heavenward. So a time perhaps just to pause. Have you thought about this before in this way? What steps do you need to take for your next step to draw nearer to Christ so that you can gain the prize? Can Paul's teachings and his attitude help you? Paul developed this idea of our lives on earth has been a journey by describing our human bodies as temporary dwellings, or tents as he called them. He was actually a tent maker, so he was thinking about tents. But we know what tents are, don't we? They're sort of temporary shelters for a few nights away, maybe. But he's referring to our earthly bodies as tents. It's temporary accommodation. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 4, Paul said this: for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. It's well worth going back and reading that again and just pondering on that. So this eternal home in heaven is our promised destiny. This is where we belong. As Christians, we're travellers in this world. We are citizens of heaven, and we're not where we're going to be. We are temporarily living in this world and are awaiting the day when we'll take our place in God's kingdom, when Jesus will meet us face to face when we arrive there and will be with us. Do you remember back in the start of Philippians when Paul was wrestling with, do I want to be here or do I want to be with Christ? To live is Christ, to die is gain. He couldn't make up his mind which was best. Have you got that attitude? Doesn't matter if I die because I'm going to be there face to face with my Saviour. What fantastic faith. And perhaps I've got a little bit of way to go to get there, but I'm going to press on. I'd invite you to join me with pressing on. In the meantime, Paul assures us that Jesus will always be with us and guide us through this life as we walk by faith with him. This eternal destiny is the prize that Paul refers to, then that he's pressing on towards, so that he can take hold of the promised reward for which Jesus has taken hold of him. So, how is your journey towards your eternal destiny going at the moment? Are you faced with challenges or difficulties that seem to be making your journey challenging? Are you concerned about a health issue? Or maybe relationships that are strained or difficult? Are finances a problem? Are there circumstances that you are finding difficult to deal with? If any of these are the case, please take heart from Paul's words of encouragement, where he urges us to press on. The journey we are taking may not be easy at the moment. Not all journeys are easy. Sometimes we get it wrong, don't we, if we rely on sat-navs like we do. But God promises us in so many ways. It might be a difficult journey, but it will certainly be worth it. So let us press on in our walk of faith, remembering that Jesus is by our side and he's able to help us in any challenges that we're facing. He's promised to be with us every minute of every day and longs for us to turn to him and ask him for help. So let us take strength from verses 20 and 21 that we've just heard. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, again, God's in control, Jesus is in control. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. Surely, if Jesus can transform us in this way, he's bound to help us with whatever's going on at the moment. It wouldn't be right to conclude any message about our future heavenly destination without mentioning the wonderful passage in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7, when the Apostle John said this. Then I see, if you give me just a moment to find that, if you'd like to look at that. Have you got the page number there, Marcus? Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7, if you'd like to have it in front of you. But I'll read it anyway, if you'd like to just listen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." What a rich and wonderful promise. So let us take hold of Paul's call for us to stand firm in the Lord, and let us be ready to press on in our journeys of faith with Jesus by our side. Amen.